chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We'll read about 3 verses, but then we'll talk about more. Genesis chapter 6, I want to begin reading in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and set the door of the ark, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. I want to talk about Noah's ark today. This may be primer for some people, but some people may not have heard anything about it other than, there's a few Bible stories out there about Noah's ark. And if you go into Walmart, chances are you might see a toy Noah's ark. And they'll have all the little animals that go with it. And some little statue or toy of a guy with a beard. They'll have little giraffes, they'll have little hippos, they'll have sheep, goats, cows, 2 of everything, okay? Because it's conveniently forgotten of the clean animals, there's supposed to be 7, okay? They leave that part out, mainly because they don't know it. But if they do know it, you know, it kind of messes up the 2x2 song part of it. It does. I remember them songs from when I was a kid. Before CDs, there were these things called LPs. Big black disc that you put on a phonograph. I had one. It was Classic Treasuries or something, or of you know, Bible stories and songs. You know, go down Moses, way down into Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, some of us, you know, my memories of it are subjective, but it's in there. It's stuck in my head, some of them. But Noah's Ark is one of them cute little stories. Any playground you'll see that's at a church will have a boat in the back. And a ladder, we're going up, to, and there's a hole in the side where the kids can come out, and there's a slide on the other side. So it's not very scriptural. Because Noah's Ark only had one door, and it didn't have a slide. I'm sorry. But it's everywhere. And like I said, they didn't quite understand about the clean animal thing, but there's a lot of things people don't understand. But what I want to speak of here is where Noah's Ark is actually a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Just as the Ark of the Covenant is a type, is a picture of Christ, so is Noah's Ark. And that's left out of just about every little Bible story you ever want to see. They leave all that out. What I'm going to start out with here is the forgotten thing that the Ark of Noah was God's idea. It wasn't Noah's idea. It was God's idea. Noah was not in the boat building business. He had no desire to build a boat until God told him to. God purposed for Noah to build this ark. God purposed. God purposed for Noah to build this ark because this ark was needed. Noah didn't know that either. God told him. The ark was needed to protect Noah and his family from what God was going to do. And so that's what he starts out with in this description. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's what God uses to start a conversation with somebody. You use that statement nowadays, that's more of a conversation stopper. I mean, people will look at you and say, God's going to kill people? God's going to kill people? God kills people. He is angry with the wicked every day. It's not good news for the wicked. But this is the way God starts talking to Noah. You know, hi Noah, I'm going to kill all flesh. I'm going to destroy them with the earth. Now, I imagine Noah had to be astonished, first of all, to hear God speak. And second of all, that this is what he started with. But thankfully, God didn't stop there. He said, I'm going to destroy all flesh with the earth, but make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. God didn't need an ark. Noah needed an ark. Noah built a boat. So Noah started to build a boat. He told him to build a boat because he needed one. And just as an aside here, where I said God doesn't need a boat or an ark, God doesn't need anything from us.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't need our hands, he doesn't need our feet, he doesn't need our mouths, and he didn't need an ark. Come on in, we're all right. Noah needed an ark. And God took care of it. Now, if you want to think about this for just a minute, because this is another part of the Bible story of Noah and the ark, that they will leave out. God was the reason Noah needed an ark.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to destroy the earth. Now, the earth's not going to destroy itself. That's what everybody's worried about now.
Yeah.
You know, that was what they were worried about when they were making the atomic bomb at Los Alamos. If we set off this atomic bomb, will this break the bonds of creation and just create a chain reaction and just keep building and building? No, it didn't. Don't worry about it. God told Noah, he says, I'm going to destroy the earth and everything that's got breath in its nostrils is going to die unless they're in the ark. And there's going to come a day when he's going to destroy it again, yet so as by fire.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be the hand of man that does it.
No.
Another thing, see, they want to leave out. And then we'll see evolution has fully run its course then. But God was the reason Noah needed an ark. He had decided before ever speaking to Noah that he, God, was going to put an end to all flesh. It said the earth was filled with violence. Yes, it was. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. That's Genesis 5:5. I do want to tell you one thing. This was nothing new. Man has never been, as a species, good. It's started out in the garden and went downhill from there. God knew this all along. This was not a surprise to God. The preacher wrote in Ecclesiastes, "Lo, this only have I found. This only have I found. That God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." This is nothing new. What was different now? Were men so horribly bad that God couldn't stand it anymore? Well, yes and no. Men were horribly bad, and God does not stand for sin ever. But the answer is also no, because man has never been any better since Adam fell. Man's heart was and is desperately wicked. Men love darkness rather than light. It's the same back here in Genesis. Those were the words of Christ in the New Testament. What was different at this time was that God said enough. He had purposed it. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them all. And you've seen the t-shirts, right? Kill them all, let God sort them out. Don't worry about it, God's already done the sorting.
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
The sorting part's done.
Yeah.
Don't start. The problem with that t-shirt is you don't want God to sort them out. Most people don't. They don't know it. I'm going to kill them all except Noah and his family. A particular redemption. A certain specified particular number of people were going to be saved from this, what they call the antediluvian world, the pre-flood. Now the second thing is this ark is for Noah. Like I said, God doesn't need an ark. This ark's not going to make God any more holy, any more just, any more good, any more loving, any more kind, any more merciful, any more righteous, or any more powerful. This ark benefits Noah and his family. Why? Why did God choose to tell Noah what he, God, was going to do? Was Noah a just man? Was Noah a perfect man? Did Noah walk with God? Yeah, it says he did. It says he did. But there's a verse before that. And this is another verse they'll leave out of the Bible stories. The verse before that is in Genesis 6 and verse 8. And it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Grace made Noah a just man. Grace made Noah a perfect or a complete, a sound man. Grace made Noah walk with God. Grace does it all. God chose Noah for his grace before Noah was ever just or perfect or walked with God. The order is specific. The order is clear. He goes on in verse 18, he says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Noah was just like us, believers. How do I know that? It's in the book. It's written right here in black and white. When God told Noah to come into the ark, he said it in a way that is totally overlooked. And I didn't see this until I started doing this, writing this stuff down. Because here's what God said. This is chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And I read that before, and I've read it before, and it never quite dawned on me. God doesn't say that Noah was righteous. He didn't say that he was righteous. He says, For thee have I seen righteous. I could fit in there. I have seen righteous before me in this generation. God calls those things that are not as though they are. Whenever I see something like that, that's the verse that pops into my head every time. Because I'm one of them things that are not, but he says that I am. And that's what Noah was. We get this idea, and it's fostered by your upbringing. It's fostered by places you've been. Now, if you were born and raised around Earl, I can't speak for that. But you get this idea that these people in the Old Testament were just so holy that it hurt. You know? Now, I'm not going to talk about David or anything, okay? Not you, but the one in here. But, I mean, seriously, you get this idea that Noah was holy. Moses got mad and hit that rock. We're not going to get into it because we're talking about the ark being a type of Christ, but Noah had some problems after he got off the ark. Yeah. He grew some grapes and made some wine and got drunk, which led to other problems. Right. But when you hear, and when you read these little Bible stories, you know, when you're a kid, and you get this thing that everybody is just so holy, you know, everybody, you know, it used to be good in the old days. Well, the earth was filled with violence.
Yeah.
And Noah didn't become just and perfect and walk with God until he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Man hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. Depravity is depravity in the Old Testament and the New. God calls those things that are not as though they are. And I love that. Noah, I see thee as righteous. Noah, I see thee as just and perfect and walking with me in my grace, by my grace. I see thee as righteous coming to the ark. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Those that are his people, God does see them as righteous in Christ. They of themselves, me of myself, are not righteous. And I lay odds, Noah probably didn't feel righteous. But that's okay. I don't feel righteous. And that's okay, because the Lord sees me as righteous. And he's the one that matters, not me. He matters. Therefore, come into the ark. The next thing, I'm going to have to quit here in a little bit, is God exclusively planned this ark.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby notwithstanding. That's another thing that's in my head. From my childhood. God exclusively planned this ark. He designed the ark of Noah. Noah didn't just go out and build a boat. Noah built the ark the way God told him to. And I got tickled yesterday, or not yesterday, but when I was doing this the other day, when I read a gopher wood. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. According to Strong's Concordance and some other references, they're still not exactly sure what that was. You know what the Hebrew word for gopher is? Gopher wood? The Hebrew word is gopher. They don't know what it is. Now, there's a question mark in there. In the Strong's Concordance, it says cypress. Okay? And I can live with cypress wood. But I didn't know that. I don't know. You know, maybe they had cypress wood in Israel at that time. I don't know. See, the only cypress I know is in the swamps. Okay, down in Georgia where I used to live, and on the Mississippi when we were on the way to see Jason in Texas. We'd stop off. There's a place on the Natchez Trace Parkway. And you see these trees, and they can get huge at the base. And they're underwater. The base of these things are underwater, and they come up, and they taper up, and they grow straight, and they grow tall, and they're pretty, and it's beautiful, and the place is full of mosquitoes. So you better have you off if you're going for a visit. Watch out for cottonmouths and watch out for alligators. But cypress wood, and then it comes up with these knobby knees. That's what they call them, knees. And what they are is roots. And they come up straight. And they stand up there at a point, and then they go back down. And I don't know, they say somehow the roots get breathed through that. I have no idea. I'm not a biologist. But I've seen them. And the other thing you'll see down south is in people's yards you will see old cypress stumps with the gnarly roots and all that stuff, and they just sit out front. They're decorative. They weather. And I'm going to tell you something, them things are almost indestructible. To natural causes, they will last. You can put one out in your front yard, and they will last for decades. I have seen them last for decades. And you can go out there and hit it, and it's still hard. But you can pick one up, and it's light. It's strong. So, I mean, it may be that gopher wood is cypress. It fits because it is tough. It is strong. It is light. It'll float. But whatever it is, God said use gopher wood. And that's what Noah used because God said so. It fits mainly because I like cypress wood. But then if you take this cypress wood, or this gopher wood, which I'm sure was equally tough if it wasn't cypress, pitch it within and without. So no water gets through. Nothing can get through from the outside into the ark unless God put it there. Nothing. It's sealed. And there's a seal. There's a seal. Every one of God's people is sealed. In Christ. But anyhow, God told Noah how to build this ark. What to make it out of. And where to put the pitch. Within and without. He also said the ark was supposed to be this long, by this wide, by this tall. Because it needed to be this long, by this wide, by this tall. That's the size it needed to be to do what God intended for it to do. It was big enough, strong enough, watertight enough to get the job done. Said there were rooms, make rooms in the ark. There's going to be three floors. There's going to be one window in the top. And there's one door. And one door only. The only outside light, this is God's design for the ark. The only outside light came through that one window in the top. The outside light came from that one window. The illumination come from above. The light comes into the ark and shines inside the ark from the outside. So I think of this scripture. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The window in the top of the ark was the only way outside light could get in. And the light from heaven has shined in the hearts of his people. The only way. Now, I'm not saying Noah didn't have lamps. He may have. Because also he was told to provision this ark. We'll get into that in a little bit. But there were some provisions to be put in this ark. Not just animals. But this is the only written place of how light could get into this ark. It comes from the outside. The light doesn't come from the inside, it comes from the outside. And there is light in the ark. And there's only one door. There's only one way in the ark. If you were to be in the ark, you had to come in the door. There's no other way. It is that simple. There's no other way in but through the door. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's John 10, verse 7 through 9. All of this ark, the size of it, big enough for the job that God wanted it to do, to provide deliverance for Noah and his family and the animals. The door in the side, the window in the top, what it was made out of, what it was pitched, where it was pitched, in, within and without. All of this was God's design, God's plan, and by God's instructions. None of this plan, the salvation of Noah's family, none of this plan was left up to Noah. God provided exactly what Noah needed. He told him. He told him exactly what Noah needed. He provided exactly what Noah needed. And I'm going to stop right there. Our Heavenly Father, we are again thankful that we are here in this place and that you have provided this place for us as a place to gather. And we ask that you would give Walter the words we need to hear to learn of you, your ways, and what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us, is doing, and shall do for us. And we'll give you the honor and the praise and the glory, now and forever. Amen.